Favorite Bibles, if you could turn to Psalm 71. Be where our meditation this afternoon is. Returning, it's always a joy to be with you. It's always a double joy to remember to be with you. Psalm 71, if you are able, please stand for the reading of God's holy an inspired word. Let us hear God's word. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge to which I may continually come. You have given the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel man. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. I have been as a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent. For my enemies speak concerning me. Those who watch for my life consult together and say, God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. May my accusers be put to shame and consumed. With scorn and disgrace may they be covered who seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord God, I will come. I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those who come. Your righteousness, O God, reaches the high heavens. You have done great things, O God, who is like you? You who have made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again. From the depths of the earth you will bring me up again. You will increase my greatness and comfort me again. I will also praise you with harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praises to you with a lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, my soul also which you have redeemed, and my tongue will talk of your righteous help all the day long, for they have been put to shame and disappointed, who sought to do me hurt. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. Before we consider this, will you pray with me? Our eternal God and Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for your life-giving word. Lord, we praise you for the truths that are revealed by you, truths that teach us about you and about ourselves and about this life. And Lord, we do thank you that you indeed are a God who is worthy to be trusted. And we thank you that in all of the circumstances of life, you are a God to whom we can approach, we can cry, Lord, because you are a personal God, the one true God who His Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We thank You that we have access to You through Jesus Christ by the help of the Spirit. Lord, we pray that as we consider this psalm before us, that You would grant to us wisdom. Lord, grant to us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts to believe. That wherever we are in life, regardless of age, whether young or old, or in between, Lord, we pray that we would be able to say that You are our God and You never let us be put to shame. Lord, so help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So we come to Psalm 71. This is attributed to David historically, and it is a psalm of old age. And I'm aware that I'm at an age where I'm uniquely qualified to not know what I'm talking about regarding either youth or super old age. I'm right there in the middle, as my kids remind me from their perspective. They think I'm old, as they often ask, what is life like back in the 1900s? And it really wasn't that long ago, and it wasn't that much different. But we come here to a psalm that is, it is a reflection, and it is a comfort. It's a psalm of confidence, and it's a special psalm. If you were to think even now of an aged believer, one with whom you're not able to have much contact with, but only on rare occasions, and when you enter their presence, that godly saint, you sit down maybe by the fireplace and you ask questions and you say, over the course of your life, What are things that God has taught you? What are truths that God has communicated to you through His Word, and how has He shown Himself real in your life? Their answer would, in a sense, be what we have here in Psalm 71. This is an older David. This is an older king who has lived a full life. We have the privilege of knowing a lot of the experiences that came his way, even from a boy when he was chosen to be king. And then when he did exploits there on the battlefield as the army of Israel wondered, who is this boy coming out? And as the enemy Goliath mocked, who is this boy coming out? And you saw the great victories of David. You've also read in God's Word of the darker days of David, when he sinned against his family, against Bathsheba, against Uriah, and ultimately against God. You've seen David in those moments of pride when he took a census. He knew he should not have even been warned by those around him, and all of the calamity that befell him. And here's David now, with, as he says in verse 18, even to old age and gray hairs. Here he is, giving to us a word. This is a word for the young. It's a prayer for the not so young. It's a good prayer for all of us, wherever we are at in the timeline of our lives. I think as quickly as we can remember the name of an older saint that we would love to sit down and talk with and hear of God's exploits, we probably sadly also know of older individuals that we think, oh Lord, have mercy on me. May I not be like that. Whether it's a curmudgeonly outlook on life, nothing's ever good enough. Everything always goes back to those pesky millennials. Whatever it is, this is a prayer for us to heed. And so what I want to do is just walk through how David, that mature, aged saint, looks at time. How he looks at the past, how he looks to the future, how he lives in the present. It's a good Sunday as any to think about time. We are ending 1 year and entering another. This is for you the last corporate worship of 2018. How will we look at time? What I want to consider first from verses 1 through 3, kind of an introduction to the psalm itself. What David is doing is he's giving us thematic truths that shape the Christian's understanding of life. He's going to start very broadly here in these opening verses. And he's going to remind us these are truths that are true no matter what your age is, whatever circumstance of life you're in, whatever phase of life you are in. And the first one is that God is always trustworthy and always does right. So seek refuge in Him. In You, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. We know at the beginning of the psalm, at the end of the psalm, there are circumstances in David's life that are seeking to put him to shame. And yet he's not focusing on those. He's focusing on the reality that God is a refuge. That God is always a refuge. God is always trustworthy. And God always does right. Therefore, seek your refuge in Him. God is dependable. This is one of the first truths that we teach our young children. God is worthy of trust. He's dependable. He doesn't change. And we want to instill that truth in our children from the earliest age. And here is David at a time in his life where he has more years behind him than before him. And he's still saying, God is worthy of trust. He always does right. The second truth that shapes the Christian life is that the Christian life is sometimes hard, and this is true in all seasons of life. Not just when the gray hairs come. We always think that, well, it would be easy if this was the case. Or the Christian life would be easy if only this, and this fell into place. And David said, look, it's always going to be hard. It's always going to be hard, but all seasons of life are going to be hard. I don't want to damper anyone's future dreams, but life isn't always easy. Remember when my wife and I first were married, she just started her first job, and I was still in seminary, and seemed like there's just so many pressures. And I remember us having conversations and, you know, when we get done with school, it's going to be really easy. We'll be able to spend all of this time in the Word. And it's not going to be for homework. It's going to be just wonderful time. We come home from work, we have our dinner, and we just sit there with no problems, no cares, no concerns, just Word, just reading. And that never came. The ease, the dinner's still there, and the joy is still there, and all of that. But the problems didn't go away. They just were different. And And those seasons of life bring challenges. Sometimes it's a greater season of challenge, sometimes less. But there's always going to be difficulties. And so you're never going to outpace your struggles. But there's going to come a time where you're not going to have as much strength to deal with them. And that's what David's trying to get you to see. That old age is not easy. There is a man at Wayside, and a couple years ago they had to move up to Connecticut to be with family as health was declining. And I had talked to him on the phone one September, and he ended the conversation with, "Chucky, my boy, let me tell you one thing. Growing old isn't for wimps." And he passed away several months later, and I can't come to Psalm 71 without thinking of Bob's statement that growing old isn't for wimps. That you're always going to have troubles, but you're not always going to have the strength to respond to those troubles. And so David's saying something here. Be in the habit now of trusting God. Then we see the third general truth that shapes our understanding of life, and that is, you will not always be young, but do not wait to trust God when you're old. Remember Solomon in Ecclesiastes, that great encouragement that we have, remember now your Creator when? In the days of your youth. So that when the evil days draw nigh, so that when time comes, and then he gives this allegory of old age, when the grinders cease, when your teeth are falling out, when you can't hear as well, when you can't speak as well, when you can't see as well, the windows of your eyes, they're dim, all of this. You're already in the habit of remembering your Creator. Again, that's what David is bringing us to. We have the mature David reminding us that God is always trustworthy and always does right. That your youth will not remain forever, and neither will your strength. So trust in God where you are right now. Then he's going to go on in this psalm, and he's going to provide his perspectives on how to look at the past. In verses 4 through 13, we see a way to look at the past that is quite graceful, and it's wise. It says, "Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel man. For you, O Lord, are my hope and my trust from my youth." He's in his present situation, whatever that situation is for David. And what does he do? He looks at the past, not to think of glory days, but to see the hand of God in his life throughout all of his days. God's hand was on the aged from the time of youth. And this brought comfort in the present. The aged person has a long history of experience to draw from. It's why it's good to listen to those who have lived a long life. And some of them have seen it all. And they can say, look, God does not fail his people. The difficulties that you may have, you look back, regardless of what your age is, and you can see God's hand. How did you get to where you are right now? It's God's hand has brought you here every step of the way. He teaches us that God's past deliverances embolden the present confidence that God will remain faithful. Verse 9, "Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent. For my enemies speak thus concerning me." God's forsaken him. But yet he says, "Oh God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me." You've always done this. You have always delivered me in the presence of my enemies, David says. Remember Psalm 27. And there in the presence of his enemies, as arrows are coming at him from every direction, he takes great comfort, and he says, "One thing have I desired, and that is to see the Lord, to dwell in his presence." And here he is many years later. Say, look, you've delivered me then, deliver me now. There's something about looking back into your own past and seeing God's hand that emboldens you to trust Him and comforts you to depend upon Him. In the early church, there was one of the fathers named Polycarp. And you know the history of the early church well. The Roman Empire sought to persecute Christians, to stamp them out, and there were many endeavors to do so throughout the early centuries there. And Polycarp, in his old age, was taken and brought before the governor and was asked to recant. And if he recanted, he could go free. And his response was, at the age of 86, his response was, "These 86 years, my God has never let me down. Why would I then, at this point, turn my back on Him?" And there's Polycarp going to say, from the moment of his birth, the Lord had His hand upon him every step of the way. Why then now, he says, would I then turn my back on Him who has been so faithful to me? And here we've had it read and it was prayed in the pastoral prayer. The great privilege it is of being born to covenant parents. And we pray this for all of our covenant children, that they never know a day. And here's David. Comes here saying, "I've never known a day. I look back and His hand has been upon me from my mother's womb." That's how, by God's grace, we should look at the past. But David doesn't stop there, even in his old age. He says, I still am looking. I'm looking to the future. Verses 14 to 18. There's a wise way to look at the future that is quite helpful. He says, "I will continually praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, your deeds of salvation." Their numbers, past miles, he can't even count. He can't even name all of them. You know, count your blessings, name them one by one. David's like, I'm out of fingers. I can't count that high. And then he says, "Do not forsake me, even in old age." Why? Verse 18, "that I might proclaim your might to another generation." There are generations that come after the generations that go. It's just the way of things. Read a genealogy in Genesis or Chronicles, and you're reminded very quickly that generations come and generations go. And here's David saying, but there's one thing that remains forever, and that is the goodness of God. That is the manifold work, the manifold grace of God. And he says, let me tell that to a coming generation. He doesn't see himself as useless in his old age, but as one who can proclaim the mighty deeds of God and His power to all those that come. And so there's a responsibility there for the mature to proclaim the works of God to the next generation, but there's also a responsibility of the next generation to hear, to listen, to take heed. All those times that in your youth you've heard, God is dependable. God is trustworthy. You hear that, and then as you grow older and the pressures of life come in, it's your responsibility to heed that word and to trust God. But David has a view of the future that looks beyond his own time on earth. And is that not the great privilege of the church. Sometimes a minister comes, a minister goes, a family leaves, and we think, oh, will the work be sustained? Look, ministers have been coming and going, and families have been leaving for centuries. And then the church goes on. Why? Because it's Christ's church. That's why it's paramount for the church to be grounded and rooted in the Word. Not in a personality, not in a person, but in the Word. And David understands that. So he instructs that next generation of all that God has done. I don't think I need to belabor this. This is not a congregation that seems to struggle with this, but having programs during worship for all manner of ages. We have a multi-generational worship here, and that's a good thing. It's a good thing. This is the people of God, and young, old, and everything in between needs to hear the mighty deeds of God. And may those in the place of proclaiming, proclaim. And may those in the place of listening, listen. And then David ends this psalm, this view of time, with a way to live in the present that is remarkably missional and evangelistic. Verses 22 to 24. It says, I will praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praises to you with a lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy. It is wise for whatever our age to live in unreserved, joyful worship of our triune God. Sometimes it's a wonderful picture. You have this psalm here, and again, this prospect of sitting down with David and asking him, David, you've lived a long life, you've seen many things, tell us about God. And he tells you all about the Lord as his shepherd, and then he gets to the end, and he reaches over and picks up the lyre, that ancient guitar, and begins strumming and singing songs. And even David's own testimony and reflections of God's grace and God's glory and his deeds end with what? It ends with worship. One theologian made the comment that weekly worship should be the burning power center of our cosmos, where the reality of the living God, Father and Son, is present in the Spirit who works wisdom, power, and love in all those who believe. And this is what we do. This is why we gather weekly to worship the triune God, because this life is not about us, it's about Him. And we gather together proclaiming His mighty deeds with joy. A life that is one of praise, that focuses on God's righteousness and His faithfulness. God is faithful in all of His dealings. God is righteous in all of His ways, and all of those who have been redeemed will shout for joy. Because God's redeemed us through His own Son, Jesus Christ. He's reconciled us to Him. He's taken all of our transgressions, all of our sins, all of our motives that are self-absorbed, all of our self-interest has been placed upon Jesus Christ, who has borne the wrath and the weight of all of that, to where God today remains faithful and He remains righteous. So how can we not help but praise Him? Verse 24, my tongue will talk of your righteous help all the day long. It's a life of trust that rejoices in God. And it foils the adversary. Notice how the psalm ends. My tongue will talk of your righteousness. Help all the day long. For they, the adversaries, they have been put to shame and disappointed. Now go back to the beginning of the psalm. And you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Never let me be put to shame. Well, there's a shame happening. But who is it? It's not the righteous. It's not those who trust in God. It's the adversary. All of the attempts of the adversary are foiled over and over and over again. And do we not see this in the life of Jesus? How many times in the life of Jesus, in the days of his flesh on earth, do we see the great adversary seeking to prevent the cross, trying to get between Jesus, to kill Jesus prior to the cross? And what does Jesus keep saying? My hour is not yet come. My hour is not yet come. But then the hour comes, and there on the cross, when it looks as though he's defeated, what is being happened? Well, what's happening? He's crushing the head of the adversary. And so it is for all of those who put their trust in Jesus. The proclamation of the gospel continues to crush the head of Satan. That's what Paul says in Romans. For all of those who put their trust in God, they will never be put to shame. All of the attacks that you may feel, the spiritual attacks, the temptations, the providences that come in your life that from the hand of God are there to increase your faith, but from the perspective of Satan are there to cause you to doubt and to lead you to sin, only he will be foiled for all those who put their trust in God. So whatever it is that your situation is at the end of one year, the beginning of the next, we don't know what next year is going to look like. We don't know what later this afternoon is going to look like. But God is worthy of trust. Take it from David in his old age and his gray hairs, that God is God and he does not forsake his people. So may you, dear Christian, find comfort in the trustworthiness of God, who is righteous and faithful in all of his ways. Let us pray. Our eternal God and Heavenly Father, we do thank you that wherever we are in our timeline, we can look back and say, hitherto has the Lord helped us. By his mighty hand has he brought us to this place. And we praise you for all of your redemptive acts in the Lord Jesus Christ that have reconciled us to you. Lord, we pray that we, in whatever age we are, would have a biblical view of time, that we would look back and see your hand, that we would look forward and proclaim your deeds and live in the present with joyful praise. Lord, for you have done all things well. Lord, be with this dear congregation. Lord, draw near to them. May they know your presence and your fellowship, Lord, one with another. Lord, may they enjoy a year of sweet communion with their blessed God. Lord, we pray for Pastor Root. Lord, heal him. Lord, give him fresh and renewed strength for ministry in this upcoming year. Lord, and may we all advance and progress in the gospel by your Spirit and for Christ's sake, in whose name we pray. Amen.